Hi, my name is Dave Respe, CEO of Now Speed Marketing, and welcome to this edition of In the Now, where we focus on uncovering the myths and misunderstandings of marketing and leadership with some of the world's most interesting people. And my guest today is Pete Caputa, CEO of Databox. Databox is an analytics platform that makes it easy for you to centralize your data and then use it to make better decisions and improve performance. Pete, welcome to the show.
Thanks, David. Thank you. I don't know if I've been called one of the most interesting people in the world before, so I'll take that as a compliment.
And after the show, you'll be the most interesting
person. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we'll see how that goes. I really appreciate our conversations leading up to this interview. I've admired you and your company for a long time, and I've really been looking forward to this conversation. So the myth that you and I have been talking about is about SEO, which of course is a digital agency is close to my heart. And the myth we're talking about today is that SEO is really the main driver of leads for most companies. Do you think that's true or not true?
I think that when companies look at their analytics reports, it tells them that SEO is the main driver. But in reality, SEO gets credit for more of the leads than it deserves. So I think it's a bit of a myth that SEO is the main driver. We've actually done surveys asking people, like, what's the main, what do you get more leads from, SEO and pay-per-click? And an overwhelming number of them say SEO. But in reality, the paths that people take to become a lead on your website are not always linear. And most analytics tools do not capture that full journey. But the last thing that many people do, many buyers do, is they Google you and then follow an organic link, maybe even Google your brand name, and then get into your funnel. But they might have heard about you 20 different places, 20 different times, or from other people, or et cetera. And so that last click is getting a lot more credit than maybe it deserves.
Yeah, so I really want to talk a lot more about that idea of attribution, last click attribution, but why is it so tempting for us marketers to think about this as a linear process? You know, it seems obvious what you just said,
right?
Or it seems powerful what you just said, that, you know, it's a complex process, there's lots of paths, but we kind of want it to be a straight line, don't we? Like, we just kind of want to assume it always works the same way for everybody, right?
Right. I think two things. There's a lot of pressure on marketers to prove their value. And there are relatively inexpensive tools, some free tools like Google Analytics, where you can measure that straight line quite easily. So people default to reporting what they can measure.
Wow. So maybe because we have a tool that makes it look like it's a straight line,
right,
you believe that people do a search, they click on the website, they go, and then they engage with your sales team and they buy your product. But the answer for most companies, especially complex B2B sales, is that there's a complex set of things that happens, right?
That's right.
Around that, they talk to people, they do research, they go to, you know, they read articles, they do all kinds of other things. So what's the core attribution problem in your mind that leads us to the false conclusions?
I think it's relying on one set of data, one metric to judge the effectiveness of different marketing tactics and channels and strategy. Like, I think there's a lot of things that marketing needs to do before you even think about how do we get in front of people. And that's the stuff that's more important, and marketers and companies should spend more time on that. So I would say two things. One is focusing on that marketing strategy, and then two, having a multiple ways to measure the impact of different tactics and channels.
Yeah. So if we kind of agree that, you know, it's too simplistic to think about that clear path, and that, you know, that SEO, that last click, is going to give us the wrong data. Take me back into how you think about strategy. Like, how do you, because I think that is a much talked about but little understood concept when it comes to digital marketing and marketing. How do you think about marketing strategy, and basically engaging prospects to get, to become customers kind of all the way through. How do you think about
Yeah,
the pieces
I
of
think a lot of companies like build a product or service and they know that there's lots of companies that could buy that product or service. And then therefore they think, well, like the difference between the number of customers or clients we have now and where we want to be is simply promotion of our product to close that gap between awareness or to make that portion of the market aware of your product and service. But there's a whole set of things that should be done before that. On an ongoing basis, in order to make the marketing investments more effective, more efficient. And it's very simple, but often overlooked. It's who are you selling to? Why are they buying? What is the problem they have? What's the value that you're delivering? And how do you like improve that over time? Like that stuff. So it's more about working on your product and your service and continuously innovating there and differentiating. Because I think the difference often between the number of customers you have versus the number of customers you want is the fact that there's lots of competitors. There's lots of competitive solutions. There's lots of alternative ways that they could solve the same problems that your product does. And so if you're not continuously differentiating your product and service, it's just really hard to market. And then the flip side is true too. The more you can differentiate your product and services, the easier it is to market because you become the solution for certain people for a certain problem better than any other alternative. So I think that's the marketing that people often overlook. And it can't be done just by the marketing team. It needs to be kind of a company-wide focus is how do we continue to innovate and make our solution the best one for the problems that we solve.
Yeah, it's really the company strategy relates to the marketing strategy, right? So
Yes.
if you get the company strategy wrong, it's really hard to
Right.
make the marketing strategy make up for that, right? So
Right.
it's so funny. I go back to my like early marketing 650 at Ohio State. Roger Blackwell taught me price, promotion, product, and place, right?
Place.
And yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So sometimes we forget all that stuff, right? So we kind of
Yes.
right into the tactics. And we
Yeah.
kind of want to make the promotion go. But yeah, that strategy piece, that
Yeah.
strategy piece is so important, right? And if you get that wrong, like everything else is harder,
Yeah,
Yeah. So
exactly.
assume you've got the right strategy pieces in place. And if the myth is you can't rely on SEO because the analytics tools that you've got are misrepresenting maybe a little bit of how simplistic the buyer behavior is, right? We think it's a single search. And then it just comes and all the searches on your brand name, that's your best source of leads is your brand name, right? So it's misrepresenting it. How do you unpack the data or the strategies that are really happening in your experience? How do you kind of figure out what's really going on?
So I think you got to measure things differently, or in addition to just your website analytics. So, and there's really, including website analytics, there's three methods, I think, to measure your marketing that you have to do kind of independently. So, first of all, on the website analytics, I highly recommend integrating website analytics with your marketing automation with your CRM so that you can really see and measure as much as you possibly can in an automated way. So like Google Analytics is a start if you're a really small business, but ultimately you need to use a marketing automation tool and a CRM like the Salesforce stack or the HubSpot stack or the ActiveCampaign stack or whatever that is. And that does allow you to measure a lot of things, not just the first and last touch, but also the path that your buyers are ultimately taking. So that you can drill down into what might have influenced them along the way. So that's important. The second thing, though, and this is the one that is really obvious and easy to implement. The third one's a little harder. The second one is literally go back to the old school way of measuring your marketing by asking your prospects how they heard about you. And if you do that on forms on your website as they're converting, you can leave that as an open-ended, and then after the fact, go and categorize that. And I guarantee if you do that, a company does that, they'll see that there's differences between what is automatically tracked from what they report, especially if you're doing a lot of other types of marketing, like offline marketing, if you're doing user groups where people might talk amongst each other, if you're doing paid ads, if you're doing a lot of social, you're doing podcasts, all the stuff that's difficult to measure by clicks, that will show up in that self-reported, where the user's self-reporting. Also recommend asking that on sales calls. Today you can ask that on sales calls, and if you are doing your calls over Zoom, there's technology to like automatically identify their answer and help you categorize that so you can efficiently analyze it. And so that's kind of the second group, is literally just ask, going back to the way we used to do it when you'd pick up the phone in the 80s and 90s, right? And you'd say, "Hey, how'd you hear about us?" And that's how you'd know that your Yellow Page ad is worth keeping the following year, right? So like using that method. The third method is really looking at leading indicators. I think a lot of companies have trouble grasping this because you have to have kind of an intimate knowledge of the different marketing tactics and understand the metrics that you can use to measure them. But if you're doing things like content creation on your website, if you're doing things like paid ads, even if you're doing, especially if you're doing things like podcast or a newsletter, or you're doing things offline, or you have a community that you're marketing in, or you're working with influencers or something like that, then understanding kind of the leading indicators. So I'll take one of them. Let's just take podcasting, since we're on a podcast. You would want to look and see which of the episodes are resonating the best, which ones have the most listens, which ones have listens through the whole thing. And that would be an indicator that that is resonating with your audience, and that feeds into the prioritization of other types of content or other themes of your content that you should be producing, or how much you should promote specific content. Another one that is that I've been leveraging a lot for our company, Databox, is posting on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn gives a lot of data about the number of impressions that a post gets, number of likes or reactions, the number of comments, the number of reposts. And so that looking at that, all of the content that I publish and seeing the relative resonance of each of those posts allows me to say, okay, well, this is the type of content we should be creating more of. I also connect that to our sales funnel through some follow-ups in order to see, is not only is that resonating, but is it actually creating opportunities in our sales funnel. But you got to look at that early indication, because you're not always going to be able to connect the dots, because somebody might be following me on LinkedIn, seeing six of my posts over a 3-month period, and then they say, "Oh, I'm going to go check out Databox," and they go to Google and type in Databox, and that's how they get there. So my LinkedIn posts aren't going to get the credit in the web analytics. But if I know that that content's resonating with people, then I can be confident that that is ultimately going to produce, leads and sales for us.
Yeah, so that's a really good example. Your LinkedIn work compared to the search work, right?
Yes.
So there it feels like there's a there's a kind of a core belief that the engagement that you're getting is a good thing
Yes.
on LinkedIn, and that you can learn about the topics that you're getting more engagement on, but you're not going to stop getting engaged. You're not going to stop engaging with prospects or the community or your target audience, however you want to call it, on LinkedIn. Probably no matter what you find, you're gonna keep doing it.
Yeah, even if my log into my web, because if I log into my website analytics and I look at it, LinkedIn doesn't show. It's like a blip. It's a few percent maybe in terms of our traffic and leads. So, but I know anecdotally that I've put, that I've reached millions of people. Not anecdotally, I know that I've reached millions of people through the website, through the LinkedIn analytics. I also know that I'm sending leads and deals like to the sales team, and we're tracking that. I know that it's working, but I think a lot of companies haven't figured out how to engineer their funnel to go from visibility on LinkedIn to some kind of a conversion point. But when they're starting on something like LinkedIn,
Peter, I think your microphone
focusing on
might be out.
resonance
Can
is,
you hear me?
oh shit. Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? You can't hear me?
Maybe it's my speaker.
Can you hear me now? I haven't changed anything. Everything's still plugged in. Let me switch back to my MacBook Pro. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
No,
Can't
I
hear you. Yep.
must be you then.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it might be my speaker here. Hold on.
Think it is.
Yeah, now you're back.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was you. I didn't change anything.
Yeah, no, I didn't change anything either. So
Okay.
life just happened. We'll just cut all that part out.
All good.
Yeah.
So I think when people are earlier on is like diving into a new channel like LinkedIn publishing or podcasting, you're not going to have this direct connection. You're not going to be able to directly measure that impact through your website into your sales funnel with the current technology. And so you've got to rely on the resonance part. Now, I have the luxury of being the CEO of the company. If I was not savvy on this stuff or doing it myself, and I walked over to my VP of marketing and I said, "Hey, it seems like you're spending a lot of time on LinkedIn and I don't see the benefit of it," then that I think that would be harder. But the fact that I'm seeing the resonance, and also because we have methods for connecting one-on-one with people who are engaging with us, I can much more directly, and I have the authority to say, "Well, I'm going to keep doing this." But I think for most marketers, they might have the authority to keep doing it. And so, but using the resonance, I think, is a case for saying, "Hey, this message here, which is about our product and our service, is resonating with this audience over here." And so I'm going to keep doing it regardless of whether I can measure it down to the sale.
Yeah.
So.
It kind of strikes me that there are some companies that really want a single channel to become magic for them. Like they
Right.
invest in SEO, and maybe I've seen this in small companies and big companies. They kind of invest in, they just say, like, I just want to do the SEO thing. Hey,
Right.
actually, we just got a new client today. They just want to do SEO. And so it's okay. We'll
Yeah.
start there. But they're kind of putting all their eggs in that, when in reality, it's not, for any company of any size, right?
Yeah.
It's not that expensive to do a great job on social, run a podcast, produce content, have a nice website, do a little paid ads on highly targeted keywords, kind of do it all, right? So what do you think it is that kind of keeps companies from doing a great job all the way across
Yeah.
on social, and just instead of they saying, I'm just going to do this one thing and that's going to make everything,
I don't know if I have the answer to your question. I can speak to my own experience on kind of both sides. First of all, I agree with your sentiment that the more channels that a company markets through, the more effective every one of those channels becomes, right? So if you're, for example, if you're doing paid ads, but not doing, SEO or reputation management, your paid ads are going to be less effective because nobody knows about you and the only thing they're seeing is a paid ad. But if they see your ad and then also see you in the organic results, they're going to be much more likely to click that. It's two impressions on one page, right? Or if they see your ad and then they go and they look at your Google business profile and they see, oh, lots of great reviews on there, then they're going to be more likely to click through and check you out. So I think the more that you're doing, the more channels that you're doing, the more effective all of the channels are, which I think is kind of the crux of your question. To answer your question, I think more directly of like, why do companies pick one channel? I'll answer from my own experience. So I've been at Databox for 7 years. It's an incredibly difficult product to build and an incredibly difficult product to support. Yet we're in kind of a market where it's relatively low. Our competitors are relatively low price, and we've differentiated ourselves, but not to the point where we can charge 2 or 3x of what our competitors are. And so what I've had to do is make a very conscious decision of like, oh, I'm going to invest most of my resources in product and customer support. And so for me, it was like, all right, I have a longer term view of this business. And I'm going to invest there to build a great product. And then meanwhile, I'm going to invest in longer term marketing strategies, which is SEO, right? And so for 7 years, we didn't do any paid ads. We just started some this quarter, and we're testing and planning to scale it up in Q2. And for the first 5 years, I did very little on social. We had a podcast that we would do once a month, so it wasn't really a driver for us. But now we're doing a podcast episode every week. Now I post this week. I've been a little off, but generally I'm posting once a week. If I look back at a year's worth of stats, I posted almost 2 times a day. And I'm not the only one from the company posting. There's lots of people doing it. So I think it's hard to like judge from the outside, but those are the decisions I've made. And I think SEO was the right decision. And a lot of we produced a lot of content, which really got our domain authority up, which then allows us to rank for high intent keyword terms. And we're generating about 6,500 signups for our free product every month as a result of SEO. So that was the decision I made. I think if you're a more mature company and you have the bigger budget and all that, then I highly recommend building out a more robust marketing strategy where you're
Yeah, but
capitalizing.
you're right. I mean, when you're a young company, you have to place bets and maybe do a little bit of a few things, and then you can do
Yeah.
more of more things. But you do have to place your bets. But I think what you've done really well is you've got a good strategy, great product, you're executing well, and so now you can really scale that up. And I'm sure in measured and focused and smart ways, you're all about
Yes.
data and analytics, but
Yes.
just
Yes.
thinking about
Everything
it
we do is me.
carefully.
Yeah, we have OKR meetings every month and every quarter where we change the plan based on the data. So yeah, we're very regimented
Yeah,
about it.
I'm sure you are. So, we just have a few minutes left. I just want to ask you about a theme that we've got at NowSpeed and this year, and we call it playing to win. And so we differentiate ourselves on we're an agency that helps people win. We're not just doing activities to kind of play the game. What do you think differentiates companies that are really thinking about digital marketing to win versus companies that are just doing a lot of activities in the game? So, and let me just expand on the question. You've done an amazing job with your social media and your LinkedIn. I'm a great admirer of the content that you put out. And it feels like you're really doing that with a goal of winning. Winning, you can define in many ways, but you're really doing it well and you're going all the way in a good way. So, but a lot of companies just dabble in a lot of these different things. And so, to make a short question long, I guess I'm asking, what is that differentiator that really makes a company able to kind of organize itself to win versus just do a lot of stuff?
I think it's a commitment to continuous innovation. We get this feedback from our customers all the time that, and they say it online even when other people ask of is like I'm really impressed with the pace of innovation at Datavox. As I can't take full credit for it, but I also was a beneficiary of this at HubSpot when I was there, and HubSpot continuously innovating. And I maybe not just in software, but in software especially, if you're not continuously innovating, then you're going to be irrelevant in a few years. So I think that's really key. And I connect that to marketing because I'm constantly asking who are we serving, what is the value we're delivering, and how do we continue to innovate on that? And I'm doing that out in the open, and that's what I use social for. So I use social. I have this acronym that I use called Hoodies, where I have hypotheses, I have observations. I have opinions that I share based on those multiple observations. And then I have data that I gather from our market that helps me validate or invalidate or start to invalidate and validate those opinions. And then from that data, I have insights. That's when my opinions become insights. And then once I have those insights, I start sharing with them, experimenting with them with customers and really validating them, getting them to apply those insights in practice. Now I have experiences of implementing that. And then finally, I have success stories. And so I'm looking at it as this very kind of engineering-minded or scientific process where we're constantly thinking, how can we add more value? What's the hypothesis that we have? And how do we kind of prove that out? And so I'll write out my hypotheses. So I have an hypothesis that if we build a product that allows up to the minute reporting of a sales team's performance, then they'll want to put that up on TVs in their sales floor so that the sales team is held accountable to staying active on an hourly, daily basis, right? And comparing their relative performance to each other to keep them each other honest and to drive performance up. So that's a hypothesis. So I'm going to put that out, literally put that out on LinkedIn today, that this is my hypothesis. And then, as we are about to launch that product. So as we launch that product, I'll eventually have success stories ultimately, right? In order to share on how companies are doing that.
Yeah.
So that's the way I look at it is how do we continuously innovate and how do we do that out in the open with our customers, so that they're along for the ride.
Yeah, I love it. Continuous innovation, but in a very systematic, structured way that produces a lot of good results. Wow, Pete, really good conversation. Thank you. Challenged my thinking a lot of things, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. If people
Yeah.
want to learn more about you or stay connected, what's the best way to
As you
connect?
pointed out, I'm very active on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Pete Caputa, Peter Caputa on LinkedIn. We also have a few free products. So we have a free tool called Benchmarks. If you go to benchmarks.databox.com, you can benchmark your performance from using data from 100 different tools instantly. It's up-to-date benchmark data. It allows you to see how your performance compares to similar companies to you. And then we have a free analytics and dashboards reporting tool that people can check out if they want to have a consolidated view of their company's performance so that they can take more frequent action on it so they can.
That's great. And I hope you can track the number of leads you get from this podcast.
I
And that's
won't
great.
be able to. We just talked about
Exactly. Well,
that.
we'll try.
I need to give them a code. We'll do databox.com/DavidReski.
There you go. All
Won't
right.
work, but we could.
Yeah.
That would be something.
All right. Well, Peter, thanks again for joining the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, David.